Okay, so let's learn a little bit. So, Parshas Chayisara. So, a large section of the Parsha, if not most of the Parsha, definitely most of the Parsha, is taken up with the story of the Shidduch, the mission of Eliezer to find the Shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. So I'll just go through a handful of specific questions, and then we'll see where we go. All right, so it says in Pasuk, when, I guess, question number one. You'll see some of them are not really questions, more of just, I don't know, just observations, I guess you can say. So it says in Pasuk, when Eliezer is on his way, so it says, V'yikach ha'eved asar gemalim, gemali adoinav. That the Eved Eliezer takes 10 camels from the camels of Avram Avinu, v'yelech, and he goes. V'chol tuv adayin av yodin, all the good of his master of Avram Avinu was in his hand, and he goes to Amnarayim. So what does it mean? All the good of his master was in his hand. So Rashi says, shtar matona kosav liyitzchak, that Avram Avinu wrote a shtar, a document. And of Matana, giving all of his property to Yitzchak Avinu. So Shtar Matana Kassel Yitzchak Akol Shaloi, Kedei Sheyivtzeku Shleich Labitim. In order that whoever Eliezer ends up going to should be interested in sending their daughter to Avram Avinu to marry Yitzchak, because they'll know Yitzchak has everything Avram Avinu has. So that means V'chol Tuv Adonai V'Yadai, that it was mamish in his hands. Okay. It's referenced later on also when it says in Pasuk that Eliezer gets to Lavan and Besul's house. So it says over there, similar Lashon. Yeah. They see all the things that he gives to Rivka Imenu. Yeah, and he says V'chol tov adonai v'yadi. He says everything of my master is in my hands. V'yitim les kol shaloi, and he's given to Yitzchak everything that he has. So Rashi also says Shamratana hirolem. He showed them the shtar. Okay, we have to understand that again. It's not a coincidence. What's somehow this fact that Eliezer is able to hold in his hand everything that Avraham Avinu owns through that document, that's how Bashkocha brought this, that's how Yitzchak and Rivka get married. It's because of that document. It's a major part of the Inyan. Ad kedei kach that Avraham and Eliezer had the foresight of writing that up because they saw there was a beginning. So it's not a coincidence. What does that have to do with that same shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka? That's point number one. Point number two, the whole Inyan of, we know that, what does Eliezer do to figure out who's going to be the wife for Yitzchak? So we all know, right, that he makes this thing, I'm gonna go to the well, the chul, and I'm going to offer the first girl, ask her that if she can get me some water, and if she says yes, so fine, that's going to be the sign. Again, Vayter, Aloy Dover, who, and his explanation. But the Pashup Shad, again, Rishonim say, it's in order to figure out if she's a Baal Chesed. Okay? Maybe Baal Chesed would be more if she offers everything on her own. I have to ask her to give me the drink. And then she has to deduce from that, you know what, probably the camels also. So again, what does this have to do? It's not a mix. It can't be coincidence. This is where Shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka comes from. So what's the inning? What does this have to do with Yitzchak and Rivka? Number two. Number three, there's a Peldik of Gemara. The Gemara says in Chulin, in Tzadik Gimel, the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rav said, that we know one of the mitzvahs in Torah, one of the Yisurim of Torah, is Leisenachashu, not to be superstitious. It's part of the umbrella Yisurim of Avodah Zarah, things that Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to do. One of the things was superstition. So, you know, let's be superstitious. What does it mean to be superstitious? So Rav said, the classic example of being superstitious is what Eliezer did. This inyan of, if she says this and this and this, I'm going to make the shidduch. That's a classic example of being superstitious. You know, it's just like, you know, if a deer runs across the street, I'm not going. or if a deer runs across the street, I am going. Making signs like this and deciding and making your decisions based on these signs that you decided to make, that's classic nichosh, that's classic superstition, which is a belief system. The Rambam already explains in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. These types of inyanim is what drew people into thinking not so logical, and that's what led to the popularity of Avodah Zarah. So that's the Isser of Nichosh. So says Rav, Eliezer of Ravram, that's a classic example of Nichosh. So the truth is a big machlokes Rishonim, how do you take that Gemara? That means Eliezer did, this was mamish an Isser of Nichosh, what he did. So the Rishonim, let's say, no, that doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Of course, this situation was mutter. Why was it mutter? Different explanations of the Rishonim why it was mutter, but it wasn't really Nichosh. The Gemara is just, Rav is just giving an example of something which, if certain aspects would have been changed, would have been different, it would have been Nichosh, but it's something in that ballpark. The Rambam says not like that. The Rambam says openly in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Eliezer Eved Avram did Nichosh. This was mamish Nichosh, this was superstition. Is it by Eliezer Eved Avram? So the Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam holds that the Isser of witchcraft and anything under those auspices is mutter for goyim, for bnei noyach. And the Rambam holds that Eliezer Eved Avram had the status of a ben noyach. So for him it was mutter. But when the Gemara says that that classic case of Nichosh as Eliezer Eved Avram, it means literally. Okay, so this is a pella. Technically, I guess he gets away with it because he's a ben noyach. But this is where the shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka comes from, because of an act that for Yidden would be usher. Halei Dover, what's a pella? Such a thing. Such a thing is a pella. Okay. Another aspect, you know, the pasuk highlights when Eliezer is davening to Rabbanu Shalom that he should have Siyat Shmaya. So it says in pasuk, V'hoye terem kilu adaber. Before Eliezer finished saying his tefillah, V'hinei Rivka yoytzeis, behold, Rivka already started coming out. So it's like, and the Mefarshim point out, it's like the pasuk says, V'hoye terem yikra aniyana. Before you even ask for it, Hashem is already answering you. The pasuk highlights this. So again, the question is why? What is it about this tefillah in particular that you have this inyan of Hoya Terem Yikra Vani Ena? Why is that aspect of Hashem answering before Eliezer even begins to finish? Why is that necessary in the context of the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka? Another thing, later on at the end of the parsha, when finally Rivka meets Yitzchak and they get married and so on. So it says in Pasuk, like this, Vayevea Yitzchak Ayala Sar Imai. That Yitzchak brings Rivka, simple words are, to the tent of Sarah's mother, which is impossible, that's not Bakavadik. So Rashi says it means that he brought her into his tent, certainly, but when she went into his tent, then it became like the tent of Sarah Imenu. What does that mean? So Rashi says famously that by Sarah Imenu, there are three things, right? The Neris of Shabbos would remain lit. There was a brach in the east of the dough, and it remained fresh and so on. And a cloud remained over the tent. When Sarah Imenu was nostalgic, those things left. When Rivka comes back, those things come back. And that's the culmination. That's the sachak of the Maisa. That comes out that Rivka Imenu, when she gets married to Yitzchak, it's as if Sarah never was Niftaris. What does that tell us? Why is this an important nekuda? Why is this an important nekuda? What exactly is the side? What's the inyan? What's the inyan of Rivka Imenu coming and to sort of making it ki'ilu Sarah never left? Okay. So let's go like this. We have to find a Pesach into the sugya. We have to find a Pesach. So it's like this. The pasuk says that when Yitzchak Avinu, when Rivka and Eliezer are traveling back to Yitzchak, so it says in pasuk, V'Yitzchak Bav Miber Lachai Ra'i, when they're coming, Yitzchak was coming from a place Ber Lachai Ra'i. V'Yitzi Yitzchak L'Suach Basad L'Ufnais Arav, and Yitzchak went to go talk in the field towards evening. V'Yisa Ein Avayar, and he opens up his eyes and he sees V'Hine Gemal and Boim. Oh, behold, camels are coming. That's Rivka Yemein is coming. So says the Gemara Brachis, Ein Sicha Ela Tfila. The word Sicha means davening. The Yetzi Yitzchak L'Suach Basada, says the Gemara, this is the Makar, this is the establishment, the Takana of Tfilas Mincha. Avram was b'shachris, right? Yitzchak is mincha. Where we see the remez of Yitzchak establishing mincha, the yetzi Yitzchak l'soch b'sada. Okay, so mincha. What was Yitzchak davening for? I don't know. So there's a. So I don't know, but the Meishlech did. So in Meishlech in the parsha it says like this. It's part of a whole Torah. We're not going into this right now, but he says like this. The emes meis Hashem ha'isez ois. The Rabbanu Shalom was pulling the strings. Ki ba eisha Yitzchak Yitzchak avinu isha. It was time for Yitzchak to get married, but nothing's going to happen without hashtadlus. But here was the problem. Begam Yitzchak hischilas arba liboy loisoybara. And Yitzchak, because it was the time for him to get married, so Yitzchak had a soyrus. He wants to get married now. Loisoybara. The world needs to be populated. Ach, but the problem for Yitzchak personally was like this. Beyond shay yari lasis eza maisa bepoyo. That's part of the Torah that he says before this, that Yitzchak Avinu had an inyan of being hesitant to take action. He was the Yerushalayim of Yitzchak made him a little bit more passive. So Yitzchak Avinu was afraid to go do earthly ishtadlus, because who says, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, because of that uncertainty. Therefore he went out to Davin, which is a Tfilas Mincha. She has Ruba said that the Rabbanu Shem should give him help, that he should get his shidduch. So says the Ishbitzer, Yitzchak was davening to get married. There's such a thing that the shidduch comes to you, and that's what Yitzchak was zeichet to. And immediately he was answered. He picks up his eyes. Behold, the camels are coming. Similar to how Eliezer was answered, even before he finished, his tefillos were answered. So what the Ishbitzer is saying, so this is the Pesach. The Ishbitzer says that the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu, when he's establishing the takan of Mincha, this tefillah was for his shidduch, which means that the whole story of Eliezer, Ever Avram, and the physical shtadlus and the maisa, the whole everything that was going on over there, that was the answer to Yitzchak's prayers. Right, Yitzchak was davening for a shidduch, and that's how the Rabbanu Shlomim responded by the whole maisa with Eliezer, and this was the beginning of Tfilas Mincha. It means that if we're going to therefore understand and unravel the inyan of Yitzchak Shidduch with Rivka and the whole Maisa with Eliezer and so on, we have to understand Mincha. If we understand Mincha, it'll explain that, because that's what Mincha was. The beginnings of Tfilas Mincha was Yitzchak Avinu davening for a Shidduch. And the way his Shidduch came out was in the story of Eliezer Eved Avram. It means the story of Eliezer Eved Avram is the natural response to Mincha. So what's Mincha? So there's a Gemara Brachas. The Gemara Brachas, and the Vav in the days, I think it's Vav in the days. I'll let you know in a second. Yes, the Gemara says in Vav in the days like this. Amar b'chelboi amar avhuna. Rav Chelboi said the name of Avhuna. La'olam yehi adam zayir b'tfilas mincha. A person should always be extra cautious with mincha. Why? Why is mincha so... What about Mincha is so special? Shrei Eliyahu leinene el b'tfilas mincha. The famous story with Eliyahu and Avi in Har Carmel, right? The Jewish people were struggling with Avodah Zarah. And Eliyahu and Avi gathers Klal Yisrael together, at least the north. He gathers Klal Yisrael in the north at Har Carmel. And he says famously, make a choice. Oy la Hashem, oy la Baal. You know, you're keeping Shabbos and you do daf yomi, but you're also serving over the Zohar. It doesn't work like that. Agav, just a little bit in parentheses. So the Lava Trebbe asked the Kashi, he said, I understand. How could you actually give that as an offer? Leo is saying, Oy Lashem, Oy Labal. And let's say Klal Yisrael said, okay, Baal. So as the Rebbe said, that if you push a Jew against the wall and you give him that option, there's no chance that he's going to say anything but Lashem. That's not an option, really. When they don't realize that it's such a choice, then they make mistakes. When you give them like that, it's not a shiloh what they're going to respond. So Eliyahu is like that. So Elinovi says that he's going to make a whole maimon. You know the story. So he does the whole thing. He brings the priests of Baal, and they bring their karbonis, obviously. And he says, if they get answered, go to him. And if not, I'll bring a karbon. And Hashem will answer me, and you'll come to Hashem. And that's what happens. They bring their avodah zarah. Obviously, nothing happens. El Yonavi is marker of a carbon, which is shchut echutz. It's being a carbon outside Beis Hamikdash. But obviously Hashem told him to do it. That's a heter shchut echutz. So, and then he davens, aneini Hashem aneini. Answer me, Hashem, answer me that the carbon should be accepted. Pasuk says a fire comes down from heaven, and the tefillah, and all of Klal Yisrael accept upon themselves because of this to go to Hashem, and they say Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So says the Gemara, Elyon Avi's tefillah of Anein Hashem Anein was by Mincha. So, because it says in Pasuk Shenemar, Vayhi Balois HaMincha, Vayigash Elyon Avi, Vayomer Anein Hashem Anein. So by Mincha time, says the Pasuk, El Yonavi Davent, Anein Hashem Anein. So you see that, so says the Gemara, Tfilas Mincha has to be very careful, because you see how special Mincha is, that El Yonavi's Tfilah was by Mincha, this Tfilah, of Anein Hashem Anein, which resulted in Klal Yisrael saying, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, this was Mincha. So you have to be very careful. So what do we see? Another puzzle piece, that the Inyan of Mincha, which we said until now, is the Inyan of the story of the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, that's Mincha. What we see over here is another puzzle piece, that the Inyan of Mincha is Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Right? Because that's what this tefillah of Eliyahu Navi resulted in. That's what he wanted, what he was getting at. His tefillah was answered. He wasn't just davening that his carbon should be answered. His davening was that the Klal Yisrael should get the message and go La Hashem. And how was that answered? By the Jewish people proclaiming Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So this is what we have. This is the algorithm. You know? This is the formula. Mincha equals the story of Eliezer, Yitzchak and Rivka, the whole Maisa, which equals Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So what does it mean? Hashem Elokim, Hashem is God. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Why do they have to say it twice? And why Hashem Elokim? Maybe Elokim Hu Hashem. Okay, so this was the easy part so far. Yeah, now, okay. So we're going to learn, we always learn Chassidus, but now we're going to really learn Chassidus. So yesterday was the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab, Chav Cheshvan. So we covered the Rashab's birthday, so I'll tell you, we'll go through a Torah, a certain idea that is a major, it's a word theme, it's a very big sugi in the writings of the Rashab, in Mamarim, of the Rebbe Rashab. It's not easy. So what does it mean, Hashem Elokim? What does it mean, Hashem Elokim? Every name of Hashem is not just another way to describe Hashem. It's another, the Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world with his names. The Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world with the Torah. The Torah is ultimately Hashem's names. It means every name of Hashem is another part of creation, another type of experience. There's an experience that's called Hashem, that's called Yud-Kif Avkin. There's an experience that's called Elokim. And the Jewish people are saying, through Tefillas Mincha, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So what does it mean, a Yud-Kif Avkin Dik experience? What does it mean, Elokim Dik experience? And what does it mean that they're the same? And if they're the same, what do you need two names for? So there's two types of basic ingredients that the Rabbanu Shalom used to create the world, which means two types of experiences. Everything boils down to these two things. Now, these two things, there's many different words to describe it. I'll say one now, and then I'll use others as well, but you'll see what I mean. Klal and Prat. Klal and Prat. There's two different types of experiences. There's an experience which is a Klal-Dik experience, and then there's a Prat-Dik experience. What does it mean, a Klal-Dik experience? What does it mean, a Prat-Dik experience? Maybe I'll use other terms, and you'll get the point. Two ingredients, R and Kli, light and vessel, infinite, finite, godless, katnus, soul and body. these are the basic ingredients from which the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. There are times in life where a person is going through a moichin of klal. There's a certain harchavas adas, an expansiveness, a sensitivity to ruchnias, a certain, like, touching that which is a little bit infinite, bigger than yourself. And then there's pratim. This is not good and bad. This is not toiv and ra. It's all toiv, it's all fine. There's different types of experiences. There's klal and there's prat. There's ar, which is the term in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the ar means a point of an experience which is a little bit touching, b'li gvul, that which is infinite, chavis adas. And then there's the name of a kli. Kli means that which is finite, that which is specific, that which is proteistic. See, in its ultimate root, when you go all the way back, these two dynamics, these two types of kviyachol realities, one could even be magder, one can say that it's pre-creation to post-creation. What was before creation? Like the Rizal says, what was before creation, all we can say is that all of reality was filled with what? With our Ein Sof, with an infinite light of Hashem. You don't get bigger than that. You don't get more believable than that. You don't get more R than that. What's post-creation? Well, the beginning of creation, like the Rizal says, is the Rabbana Shloilam Kiviyachol removed that infinite light to make like an empty space, and there's a lot of, and this world is pratim, is details, is pieces, finite reality. It could be gevaldik. Like I said, we're not talking about good and bad, but it's prat. It's prat. This is another term to use that I'm just giving you like different terms in this form. Chesed and Gvura can be described like this. Zohar and Akeva can be described like this. These are all different descriptions of this dynamic of Kalal and Prat. Again, when we say Zohar and Akeva, it doesn't mean man and woman, but the every man has a Zohar and Akeva side, and every female has a Zohar and Akeva side too. The inin of Zohar is more R, more beligvul, more Kalal, and the inin of Akeva is more Kli, more Prat, more post-creation. That's just the nature. That's in Zohar Nekeva. The Medrash says that everything the Rabbanu Shalom created, he created Zohar Nekeva. Everything has these components. Fine. Now in Chassidus, we're taught the following thing. I'm not going to take the time right now to explain philosophically or Kabbalistically how we get to this maskana, how we get to this point, because I don't want to lose anybody. But here's the point, without explaining how we get there. But this is the principle. The principle is kol ma sheyesh bechlal yesh beprat, v'chol ma sheyesh beprat yesh bechlal. In other words, this whole dynamic of there being a klal and a prat, and they obviously interact with each other. Right, your neshama is more klal, right, and your body is more prat, right. So your neshama. Your neshama has within it, infinite koiches. But when you take a neshama, which is just like kulei or, you know what I mean, and you put it in a body with specific body parts, then all of a sudden that infinite power of the neshama is now controlled by the physical eyes to turn into vision, and it's controlled by the physical ears to turn into hearing, and controlled by the physical mouth to turn it to be able to speak. But those are pratim. So there's certainly an interaction between klal and prat. But in Chassidus we're taught a very big side, which is, I guess I'll say it all the way in its origin point. When we say that before creation there was an infinite light of Hashem, there's a language from the Rishonim. The Rishonim already say such a lashon, which is that the true definition of infinite is if it also contains the power of being finite. Which means that when we talk about kiviyach, again, I'll say it on a higher level, and then we'll bring it down lemaisa. When we say that before creation it was klal, and post-creation is prat, it's not so pashut. Because the truth is, yes, before creation was klal, it was infinite. But that which is existing as pratim, as details, in post-creation, didn't come from nowhere. It also, to a certain degree, in a very, very docistic, almost, mamish, unnoticeable. But it did somehow exist in that infinite light of Hashem from was before. And this concept of prat, being included within the klal, that the true definition of a klal is if it also contains within itself at least the beginnings of prat. That means that ultimately, in its highest, in its most purest form, klal and prat are ultimately of the same material. It's of the same material. Klal, the iris and kalim, Klal and Prat. In Chassidus we're taught, again, this idea that ultimately, even though in experience, that there's an experience of Klal, there's an experience of Prat, there's an experience of what was before creation, there's an experience of what's after creation, and those are very, very different. But the truth of truths is that that Klal and Prat fundamentally are interincluded with each other. And anything that exists in post-creation must have also somewhat have existed before creation as well, albeit in an infinite form. But it was there. Which means that even when it now emerges out on its own in post-creation, it still is essentially of the same material of what it was from before creation. Which results in the following philosophical idea, which is that any klaldic experience, you have to be able to find prat within it. And any pratdic experience, you have to be able to find some reminder of klal within it as well. If there's klal, it means you have to find prat in it. If there's prat, you have to be able to find the klal in it. And even though, again, and the deep underpinnings of that is because ultimately, the Rabbanu Shalom is before creation, as we, it's all the same. Again, our experience is different. But this is the principle. There's two types of experiences in life. There's klal and there's prat. There's big and there's small. There's bli gvul and there's gvul. There's ar and kli. But the oimek is that prat didn't emerge out of nowhere. That prat somehow was contained in the klal at the same time. And a true klal contains both. Which means that therefore when the prat emerges independently, in that is also engraved its existence as part of the klal. Which means you'll be able to find the residue of the klal in the prat. And you should be able to also find the residue of the prat in the klal. Anything that once was always you know, sort of leaves behind residual effect. If prat existed in the klal, it means even after the prat is isolated, an aspect of the prat still has to remain in the klal. And if the prat existed in the klal, it means after it's isolated, some aspect of the klal has to exist in the prat. Kol ma sheyesh b'chlal yesh b'prat, kol ma sheyesh b'prat yesh b'chlal. Now this is a philosophical idea, you know, words. What is it? The site of Tfilas Mincha is this. This is the site of you see, why Yitzchak Avinu is Misakin Mincha? What's Yitzchak? Yitzchak is very interesting. Yitzchak is always Midas Hadin, yeah? Midas Hadin means constriction. It means tiny. It means prat. Avram Avinu is chesed, yeah? Avram Avinu, he's looking to give to anybody. Avram Avinu is believable. Avram Avinu, Yehi Ar, let there be lights, says Chazal, Ze Avram. Avram Avinu is Iris. What's Yitzchak? Yitzchak is din. Yitzchak is prat. Yitzchak is details. But as we say in next week's parasha, Elo told us Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram hailed is Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu is Midas Hadin, but what does his name mean? His name means to laugh. What does it mean, a joke? What does it mean, a joke? So the definition of a joke is two things that really have no shaykhs to each other somehow coming together. That's a joke. I just, you know, you killed every joke like that, but that's what it is, right? What's the classic example? The oldest joke in the book, which is no longer funny, right? Why did the chicken cross the road? To get to the other side. Why is that funny? It's not. But why was it funny? The reason why it's funny is because you don't expect that as the answer. You're waiting for something different. The last thing you expect is to get to the other side, obviously. You're waiting for something else. So all of a sudden you took something which is not supposed to be there and you put it there. That's a joke. Right? A guy walking with a top hat, all fancy, slipping on a banana peel. That's funny. It's not. But, you know, why? Because that scene of a guy with a top hat and a monocle slipping on a banana peel is not what you expect. Two things that have no shaykhs to each other but somehow are one, that's a joke. The two most not similar things, the most opposite things is pre-creation and post-creation. Klal and Prat, big and small. Avram and Yitzchak, those are the two most opposite things in the universe and yet they're the same. There's no greater joke than that. That is the laughter of Yitzchak Avinu. That is the joke of all jokes. That's the schoik de la'osid. That's the laughter of la'osid lavai when it will be revealed that the truth is despite the fact that our experience is one that there's such a thing as klal and prat, and they're very different types of experiences, but that's only because of our way of processing things. But the truth is, the same metzias, which is the same material that produces klal, is the same material that produces prat. Nothing's really changed. The same God, that's the same klal that's in the prat is the same prat that's in the klal. Nothing's changed from sort of Hashem's side of the table. It's all from our side. This is the schoik that's the laughter of Yitzchak Avinu. The tefillah that Yitzchak establishes is a tefillah that's trying to bring a yid to this moichin. What does it feel like when you touch this nekuda? When you touch this nekuda, it's a feeling of hishtavus, of simcha for sure, like a laughter, but one of utter sort of tranquility almost. It's like, okay, you know, it's like whatever I go through, I'm not going to be thrown off by it. So sometimes I'm in klal mode, sometimes I'm in prat mode, sometimes it's iris, sometimes it's kalim. This is the site of Hashem Walakim, Hashem Walakim. What does it mean Havai? What does it mean Elakim? Havai is the name of Hashem which creates a certain phenomenon that's called klal, that's called iris, big, believable. And there's the name Elakim. Elakim means specific, prat. Havai Elakim means klal is prat and prat is klal. Kol ma sheish b'chlal yesh b'prat. Kol ma sheish b'prat yesh b'chlal. If you're in a big experience, Yitzchak Avinu demands that you have to be able to find pratim in that. Don't get lost in the big picture and neglect the details. And Yitzchak Avinu also demands that when you're thrown into the details of things, you hold on to the big picture. That's what Tefillas Mincha is davening for. That's what Yitzchak Avinu is establishing. That's Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Where do you see this in Mincha? So I'll give you a few examples.
When you say kol, does it mean all or just everything? Like, is it like it just has a small, like, representative residue? It's literally everything that's in the klal is in the prat.
Just in that micro.
Literally.
That's in Chassidus. Again, I'm not explaining necessarily how we get there philosophically, but that's what we've seen in Chassidus. Kol ma sheyesh b'klal, yesh b'prat. This is why the Gemara says, for example, that after 40, one of the Gemaras that Chassidus uses to explain this, the Gemara says that after 40 years, a person is finally oimid al das rava. A person is not; he can't fully grasp what his Rebbe is talking about until 40 years. So, the Rebbe can never say everything. Right, the Rebbe can only say pratim from the klal that the Rebbe knows. But after 40 years of digging in those pratim, the Talmud is finally able to discover everything that was contained in those pratim. See, if the in of prat of details versus the klal is that the Rebbe is giving 2% of what he knows, then there's no way to find within that 2% the 100%, even after 1,000 years. The answer is the Rebbe is not giving 2% of 100%. He's taking something. He's encapsulating everything that he has in that small package, and therefore you take that and you ingest that pill, and after 40 years you realize you're able to finally unpackage everything that was contained in that. That's the nature of how the Rabbanu Shlomo, that in the Baal Shem Tov, there's a statement attributed to Baal Shem that a piece of the etzem is the whole thing. It's not a piece. The Gemara says that a person should be mishanal tamid of derech katzara. A person should teach Torah with concise words. Don't be marach. Don't speak at length. Speak short. So the way the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam describes that, it's not pshat just to say less words. It's figure out a way to take the big ideas and put them in small packages. And then when the Talmud digests that small package, he's digesting everything. It just takes years for him to figure that out. But ultimately, it was all there. And this is the idea, is because ultimately, again, kol ma sheyesh b'chlal yesh b'yesh b'. So again, they're interincluded within each other. You see, how do you see this by Mincha? So I'll show you in different ways. A couple examples of Mincha being an example of klal, but still finding pratim within it. I'll give you an example. What is the mincha throughout? There's one mincha in the week that is sort of the fully developed version of Mincha. Shabbos. Shabbos. The whole Maila of Shabbos, Tefillas Mincha on Shabbos is the highest thing. It flows into Shal Shudas. There's laning on Shabbos by Mincha, right? Why do we lane? Why do we lane? So the Gemara says in Baba Kama that Ezra was masakin to lane on Mincha on Shabbos because of Yoshvei Kronos. What does it mean, Yoshvei Kronos? So it's Machlokes Rishonim. But Rashi says, Pshat is because we know you're supposed to go to shul to lane, to hear laning Monday and Thursday. But there are people that are in business and they don't get to shul Monday and Thursday. So therefore, they're missing in their Avodas Hashem from laning during the week. So to make up for that, says Rashi, Ezra was masakin to have a special laning by Mincha on Shabbos. Let's understand this. There's a part of the neshama which is called Vach, which is called the 6 days of the week, and there's a part of the neshama which is called Shabbos. Shabbos, relative to the 6 days of the week, Shabbos is Klal, and the 6 days of the week is Prat. That's what we understand this in this Svarim. That one day of Shabbos is the Klalius HaWeek. How do you say a week in Hebrew? Shabbos, right? The word Shabbos doesn't just mean the seventh day. Shabbos means a week. So when you're talking about Sheva Shabbos is Tmis Tiana, right? 7 weeks. Shabbos means a week. So Shabbos is a klal, and all this, and the 6 days a week is a prat. So you have these guys, they don't, they're the part of their neshama, which is called the 6 days a week, is missing a tikkun. What's their miss? They're missing. They don't have mincha, they don't have a laning on Monday and Thursday. So says Ezra Sofer, according to Rashi, we're going to fix that. How are we going to fix that? Because on mincha and Shabbos, they'll have an extra laning, and then I'll be misakin that. 1 second. Shabbos, my mincha. You're talking about klal shabbat klal. You're talking about the biggest experience of the week. And all of a sudden, that's somehow supposed to engage the vachadik side of who they are. That's mincha. That's what mincha is. Why didn't he, again, he couldn't have been misak in another laning any other time to do this. It's dafka mincha to do this. Because mincha has this quality of Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak de la'asid, Yitzchak Avinu. Mincha time means, if it's a true klal, it means there's pratim there. Shabbos, if it's really a klal, which is what Shabbos is, then there has to be an aspect of the 6 days a week within that. More than that, this I can't really explain so much, but you should know that Arizal writes in Shaar Kavanos, the Inyan, why do we say Uvol Etzion, Asher Uvol Etzion by Mincha Shabbos? In Shaar Kavanos, the Arizal says, is that when you say Uvol Etzion by Mincha Shabbos, you are mamish being the part of your neshama which you worked on during the 6 days of the week, you're re-engaging by Asher Uvol Etzion and making sure it's 100%. Meaning, again, similar to how the Kriyas HaTorah is happening, that it's being masakin, those guys that didn't have laning Monday and Thursday, every single one of us are missing some aspects during the 6 days of the week. Asher Uvol Etzion is masakin that. Again, how does Asher Uvol Etzion on Mincha be masakin that? You're talking about klal. How do you switch gears from the Meichen of Shabbos to the Meichen of 6 days of the week? The answer is, that's the point of Mincha. You don't have to switch gears. There's no switching gears. Das is das. The lashon of Yitzchak Avinu, the pasuk uses for Yitzchak Avinu, v'yetzah Yitzchak l'suach basada, yeah? Ain't sicha el tefillah, the word sicha. So Rav Nachman, Luchut Meran, other Sfarim point this out, that word sicha, we have, there's a call in the Sfarim, the first time something is mentioned, that's the sharish adavar, yeah? That's the root. What's the first time the word sicha is mentioned? The first time the word sicha is mentioned is actually in association with David. It says in pasuk, when Hashem created the vegetation, b'chol sicha asada terem yeh ba'aretz, right? The Rebbe Shem created the vegetables and the trees and so on, but it was beneath the surface of the soil. It didn't break through the soil. Why? It's because the Rebbe Shem didn't send rain. Why didn't Hashem send rain? Because there was no one there to work the land. It says Rashi was meant to work the land. It's Gan Eden. So the answer is, says Rashi, it means there was no one, there was no human being yet to appreciate what Hashem would do. And when Adam came and he realized how important it is to have the vegetation break through the soil, he was mispali davened, and the Rebbeinu Shem sent rain, and the vegetables got out. It means the Inyan, so Rav Nachman says in Luchot Moran, it means the Inyan of Sicha, the Yetzis or the Suach Basada, is related to the first time Sicha is mentioned, which is also a tefillah that Adam Rishon davened for the rain to come to get the vegetables out. Listen, what type of tefillah was that? Were the vegetables created after the davening? They were already there. But they were just subsumed in the ground. The matziv of the vegetables and the trees and so on be under the soil, that's a klal, that's called the earth, is a klal. And then there was pratim in that. And the tefillah of Adam Rishon, which is a sicha, the tefillah is to just isolate the pratim from the klal. But it was already there. Because this is the site of Mincha, this is the site of Yitzchak Avinu. If there's a klal, it means pratim are there too. And all you're asking for is just to isolate those problems. So Rabbanu Shalom, like, so what's the so the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu is the Rabbanu Shalom loves me. Okay, the Rabbanu Shalom loves me. That's called the klal. But I need a shelech, I need parnasa, I need health. So those are pratim. Maybe Hashem loves you. You know, so it's like someone loves you. You know, and then like, okay, you love me so much. This is my list of things. Oh, okay, listen, you know, I'm just trying to be nice. You know what I mean? No, if Hashem loves you, means that klal contains within it every single thing that you would ever possibly need. So when you're davening, you're not davening that Hashem should be motivated because of His love to create something new, which is called your parnasa. What do you mean something new? Kol mashish b'chlal. If there's a klal, it means there's pratim already there. All you're davening is, I'm just trying to get the trees out of the soil, to get them popping out, but they're already there. That's Yitzchak Avinu. So it's not, there's much less heart heavy lifting. It's already there. This is the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu, the Sicha Dikit tefillah. Again, this is by Mincha. We see by Mincha on Shabbos. That Mincha on Shabbos is sort of able to grasp the reality of the 6 days of the week within that. And the truth is, it's the opposite too. Just like Mincha on Shabbos contains within it the sense of the 6 days of the week, to a certain degree, the Mincha of the 6 days of the week also contains within it a sense of Shabbos. What do I mean? So what's the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos? The first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Yitzias of Shabbos, Shtayim Shtayim Havar, that makes sense. What's the second Mishnah Masechta Shabbos? Tachtas. The second Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is Layeshev Adam Lefnei Asapar Samach LeMincha. That a person shouldn't go to the barber by Mincha time during the 6 days of the week because you have Mincha. We're afraid that if you sit by a barber then you're going to forget to take a haircut. You shouldn't go to a merchatz, you shouldn't go to a bathhouse by mincha time during the 6 days of the week because you might forget, you shouldn't go to a din, you shouldn't start a din Torah by mincha time because you might forget to daven mincha. Well, you shouldn't eat a big suda by mincha time before you daven because you might forget. What in the world, what does this do, why is this Masech Shabbos? Masech Brachas. And the third Mishnah goes back to Hilchos Shabbos. That a tailor shouldn't walk out, you know, Shabbos afternoon with his like weekday jacket because there might be a needle in there. He might be carrying, Masechah Shabbos. Every Mishnah Masechah Shabbos is still Melachah Shabbos except for the second one, which talks about the halachas of Mincha during the 6 days of the week. Shabbat. So Rishonim deal with it. Rishonim deal with it. Maybe since the third Mishnah talks about that language of layetze chai b'machtai, so meaning of like not to go out to a barber is like a similar language. So it's a palette. Put it in Maseches Brachos. You know what's interesting? The Mishnah over there lists all the halachas that you're not supposed to do during the afternoon. You're not supposed to start during the afternoon because we're afraid you'll get caught up in it. You won't daven mincha, right? That's what the Mishnah says. So the examples are not to go to a barber, not to go to a bathhouse, not to begin tanning leather, not to start a din Torah, and not to have a big suda. You know what's interesting? The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Lamed Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says that we're makbet in everything except for the last one. Of not started having a suda, that we're not makbet on that. Why? So the Ramah says because you know we're makel because you know mincha has a certain zman. Every shul has a time when mincha is. Maybe you'll make a reminder on yourself. We're makel with that. So ask the Magen Avraham, ask the Achronim. So 1 second, but why we're relying on the fact that you'll have reminders for mincha to we'll use that as a kula for the last thing for having a meal before mincha by mincha time. Why don't we use that for the other things? The answer is that the minhag of the Jewish people, which the Ramah is saying, is getting to a site, which is that every mincha during the 6 days of the week has an aspect of Shabbos to it. And therefore, part of Hilchos Mincha is to somehow refrain from malacha. So we'll rely on heterim to allow us to eat before mincha time. But we're not going to rely on heterim to allow us to do certain malachas before mincha time. Because it's not so, if the whole reason is because you're afraid you'll miss mincha, well, just as you're lenient to rely on reminders to avoid missing mincha for eating a meal by mincha time, why don't you rely on those reminders to allow yourself to get a haircut by mincha time? The answer is, it's a different inyan. When it comes to not eating by mincha time, that's purely because you might forget to do it, might forget mincha. But by the other things, which are malachas, it's more than just you might forget to daven mincha. We want to have a bechin of Shabbos, which is why the Mishnah is in Masechah Shabbos. Because the Rabbeinu HaKadosh is hinting to us that every mincha, which is during the 6 days of the week, just as mincha on Shabbos grasps the moichin of the 6 days, so too the mincha of the 6 days grasps the moichin of Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, that the Klal Yisrael have a minhag, despite the fact that we could come up with a terem, we're not going to start these certain malachas when it's mincha time during the 6 days of the week to hold on to a bechin of Shabbos. Think about it. What is there's something different about mincha versus shachris and ma'ariv, right? Shachris and ma'ariv is longer. Why is it longer? Because shachris and ma'ariv start with a kriyishma. And once you have a kriyishma, you have brachas before, brachas after. We don't buy a benich. Why not? It's a pella, because the Arizal says in the kavanis, in the system of the Ariyah Kaddish, shema is a major component. Shema brings or. He's davening Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei is details. Shemoneh Esrei is, I need this, I need that, I need that. But where's the moichin? How do you get the moichin in order to stand Shemoneh Esrei? You need Shema for that. That's what Shema does. So the Rizal deals with this. How is there no Shema by Mincha? So the Rizal says it must be that there's a roisham, there's a residue remaining from Shachris that you're holding on to. That's enough for Mincha. Why is that enough for Mincha? Why not make a Shema? Why not make a Kriya Shema for Mincha? Why should Mincha be lose? Why should it lose out? The answer is that's the site of Mincha. The site of Mincha is there is no moichin. You're in Prat. But in the Prat, you find the Klal. That's the site of Mincha. The site of Mincha is that there is no such thing. Who says there's such a thing as no Moichin? Like, who said that? Because it's experienced as a Prat. Yeah, just as the Klal contains the Prat, well, the Prat also contains the Klal. That's the whole Moichin of Mincha. The whole Moichin of Mincha is like, while you're working, in the middle of the day, when it's all balagan, and then you, like, idaver. So people try to fight it, right? So you try to fight it. It's like, I have to make space for Mincha, right? It's like, I have to, like, get back into Moichin the Godless. No. I mean, halavai. That's not a bad thing. But the site of Mincha is takikadnus. But this is also Dveikis. Why is there no Dveikis in that also? The Baal Shem Tov, in Savasa Rivash, it says, the Baal Shem Tov said, a person can be bekatnus, but that doesn't mean you're not Dveikis Godless. But there's also Dveikis. What's the we say by that, Atu Achaloi Nivra Oilam, Achu Mishnah Oilam, you're the same God as before creation to after creation. What was the chiluk? Before creation is Klal, after creation is Prat. What do you mean? You think the Prat is something out of nothing? The Prat also existed in the Klal. The Mela, now that the Prat is here, so it still contains the residue of the Klal. And when you're in the Klal, it's not called a Klal unless it has a Prat in it. So what's the difference? The answer is there's no difference. So, I'm fine. That's mincha. That's the moichin of mincha. Let's begin to go back. This is havai ulakim, havai ulakim. Now, again, that's the two statements of Hashem ulakim, Hashem ulakim. That's why the whole matzav of Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, where were Klal Yisrael holding by that tefillah? They're holding by moichin the godless? No. They were holding by watching what's going to be, because they want to decide whether they should continue to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not. That's not necessarily a big madrega, yeah. So I mean, if you're trying to evaluate where Klaius was holding over there, they were holding in very far from our Ein Sof, very far from the infinite light of Hashem of pre-creation. Pre-creation is no welcome for Avodah Zarah. You understand? Right, pre-create. What's Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah means there's me and there's Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a post-creation possibility. Pre-creation was just Oiris. There's nothing. It's nothing but the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the opposite of the metzius of pre-creation undermines the possibility of there being even a thought of Avodah Zarah. Which means what? It means the inyan of Klal Yisrael at the time, which we're holding by mamish. This debate, Oyla Hashem, Oyla Baal, it means they were holding mamish and very much post-creation in Prat, Shabbat Prat, Shabbat Prat. And Davka there, Elyonovi Dav in Tfilas Mincha, and was poiled this Giloy, that the Yidden, in one moment, should transition from being mesupik, Eilashem Eilabal, to be Havayu Lakim, Havayu Lakim. That Klal and Prat are both the same. Havayu Lakim, Klal has Prat in it, Havayu Lakim, Prat has Klal in it. It's all the same. Because that's what Tefillas Mincha is able to be poil. It's a big joke. That matzav of Klal Yisrael shifting gears in one moment from thinking Oil Hashem Oil Baal to be thinking Hashem Elokim Hashem Elokim. For us to get the Hashem Elokim Hashem Elokim by Yom Kippur, that's a whole mahalach from El, right? Like that. Because the answer is there's no chilek. That's what Tefillas Mincha was able to be poil. This is exactly the what's going on in the story between Eliezer and Yitzchak and the whole story over there. Let's explain. We'll go through some of the questions, right? So Eliezer is coming v'chol tuv adoin of biyadai. What is that whole matziv of the entire empire of Avraham Avinu is being held in the hands of Eliezer with that shtar. That's the side. Kol ma sheyesh b'chlal, yesh b'prat. Yitzchak Avinu is davening, yetzidl suach basada, he's davening a sicha dika tefila, he's davening minchan Shabbos, right? He's holding in that klal, and he's trying to find and he's just excavating the prat from there. And Eliezer is the flip side. He's the Eved Avram. We know that during the 6 days of the week, the meaning of Eved is the 6 days of the week. Shabbos is more of a ben. And the 6 days a week is more of an Eved. But again, these are the two minchas. The two minchas are minchas on Shabbos, which is klal that has pratim in it. And the mincha of the 6 days of the week, which is pratim, but has a klal in it. Yitzchak Avinu is the son, and he's doing the child, the ben, and he's being Isaac in mincha on Shabbos. But again, koma sheish b'chlal, yesh b'prat. So he's in that sicha mode, just like the sicha of the sixth of Parshas Bereishis, which is everything is there already. He's just trying to get his shidduch out of that collective reality that already exists. And at the same time, you have Eliezer Eved Avram also being poil in Mincha de Kavayda, but his mincha is what? Is more of the 6 days of the week, which is Prat. But his Avayda by the 6 days of the week is to realize that despite the fact that I'm in Moichin de Katnus, that I'm Amish in this small, tiny little space, I'm very far from Avraham Avinu. I'm holding in the place of Lovin and Besuel Mamish in a place of the Kadnish of a Kadnish. But over there is also the Klal. The same God that created, the same big God that exists in Klal also exists in Prat. The Choltuv Adonai B'yodai. And he literally has this. He's holding onto a piece of paper, which is very specific. It's like 2x2, whatever the piece of paper was. And in that paper is licked, it contains the entire empire of Avraham Avinu. That's Yitzchak Avinu. That's Eliezer. And then Eliezer says to Rivka Imenu, what's the sign? The sign is, I'm going to say specific words, which are, I am thirsty. But Rivka Imenu, if she's Rivka Imenu, if she's a shidduch for Yitzchak, what is she going to be able? She's going to excavate from within those words everything that I want, which is not just that I want thirsty, but my camels are as well. If she's able to find the klal in the prat, that's the shidduch with Yitzchak, who's finding the prat in the klal. Because it's the same thing. This is the whole inyan of why Yitzchak Avinu, Eliezer, is also making this whole sign, which is an inyan of Nichosh. What's Nichosh? Nichosh, like the Rambam says, Nichosh is a space of Katnus HaMeichen. I don't have a Rambam in front of me, but if you take a look, the Rambam in maybe someone can get it. Mada. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he talks about, where I might have like three copies in my office, not like on the shelf. I don't know. Sometimes I just keep on taking, forget to return it. But the Rambam talks about where is this phenomenon of like superstition and all that stuff. Where does it come from? So the Rambam says, it's not there. No, yeah, I figured. Okay, it's fine. Don't worry about it. So the round, you'll fact check me later. Oh, you got one? Okay, good. It's Perek Yud Aleph. I think. Shkai. Just a few more minutes, we'll be finished. So Rama says like this. Yeah, the Rambam says, the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Udvarim elu kulam divrei sheker v'chazavim. All these inyanim, the superstition, it's all just divrei sheker. Ve'in she'itu ben avdei v'adizara kaidmin l'gai ha'ratzis. And this is what the early avdizaraniks, this is how they tricked everybody. They should follow them. They convinced them of the shtuyot of superstition. Ve'in royally Yisrael shem chacham mechukamim. And it's unbecoming for Yidden, who are smart and intelligent people, to be drawn after this such silliness. To think that these things mean anything. Anyone that believes these in Yonim, so he says, you think they're true. So he says, besides the fact that it's Asr, you're just a fool. You're missing intellect. What's the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying is that the inyan of nichosh is silika moichin. You have no moichin. Like this is foolishness. It's foolishness. It's katnus shebekatnus shebekatnus. And that's exactly the space that Eliezer Ever Avram goes into to find the shidduch for Yitzchak Avinu to daven to Ribbono Shel'Olam from such a space, because that's exactly the point, to find the klal in the prat. To find the residue of Meichen contained in the space of no Meichen. That's Mincha. That's exactly the site of Mincha. This is why it's called Mincha. It's called Mincha. Mincha is a carbon of an ani, right? When a poor person brings a carbon and all he can afford is flour. Nefesh kisakriv, when a person just gives of his neshama. That's it. Let me explain. The oimik is like this. Why the reason why the klal can, why we can perceive the prat in the klal, and the reason why you can perceive the prat, the klal in the prat, is because the truth is the soul of a Jew is connected to that which is even bigger than klal. We're connected to God Himself. You understand? Like whatever your ceiling is, you can't see details there. But if you are connected to higher, then when you look down, you can see details. You understand? So it's like if the highest madriga we could possibly connect to is the light of the infinite light of Hashem of before creation, then there's no way for us to discern pratim in there. But the answer is we're deeper than that, and we can go even higher than that. We're connected to God Himself. That's mincha. Mincha means nefesh kisakrif. When you, it's essence. It's your essence. The essence of a Jew is connected to the essence of Hashem. Once you're connected to the essence of Hashem, then even the light of Hashem of pre-creation is already small potatoes. Small potatoes. So once it's already, then you could start breaking it down into components. And you could say, you know what, there's pratim in there too. Because it wasn't the, because even that light of pre-creation is, you could go higher than that. And if you can go higher, anything that's beneath you, you could, you know, sift through it, and you can break it apart. This is also why it's described as Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, not Elokim Hu Hashem, because it's also hinting to this idea that even Hashem, even Yud Kivavki, which is the highest light, the greatest light, it's Elokim. We're deeper than that, and because we could go deeper than that, so even the light of the infinite light of Hashem is already not, you know, there's details in there too. It's not just this overwhelming, blinding light, is it? Because we could go higher. We could go deeper. And this is what Yitzchak Avinu is. This is Yitzchak Avinu. This is also why, again, the tefillah of Yitzchak and the tefillah of Eliezer is a way of Yoterem Yukav Aniyena. The Rabbanu Shalom answers them before they're even finished. The answer is because what they were davening for was already there. It's just a matter of opening the door and just revealing it and isolating it, but it was already there. Because kol mashiyish bechlal yish beprat, kol mashiyish beprat yish bechlal. This is why the story of Eliezer is repeated twice. It's because the repetition of the story indicates that when he says over the story, that's called the prat. When the story is happening, that's the prat in the klal. I'm not explaining it too much, but that's. It's like when you have the branches off the tree, but the genetic material of the branches were already contained in the seed before the branches came out. So it's like there's the story that actually happens. Then there's, he's saying the story over. But it's all the same. They meet each other. And they match each other. So what's the avodah? The ikra avodah of Mincha, the ikra avodah of Yitzchak Avinu, is that sense of ishtavus and nefesh. A person's in klal mode, don't be so high and mighty. Because when you're in klal mode, you still have to be cognizant of the pratim. when you're holding by Shabbos, by Mincha, and the highest thing in the world, if you're truly in a klal, it means you also have to be conscious of your vachadika side as well. And if you're in Mincha also means the opposite. If you're holding by vach, by the 6 days a week in Prat, dig deep into that and you'll find klal. You'll find Shabbos in there too. You'll find Shabbos in there too. And then the Shabbos is like the 6 days and the 6 days is like Shabbos, so what's really the difference? The answer is maskin. The Ribbono Shel Olam is before creation, after creation. To a certain degree, nothing's ever changed. We operate differently. Shabbos is certain halachas, is 6 days is other halachas. But godless and katnus, that's the point. There's a difference between godless and katnus. But the difference between godless and katnus is not a matter of dveikus or not dveikus. Either way, you're attached to God, and either way, you have to be attached to God. Whether that attachment manifests emotionally as godless, or whether it's experienced as katnus, that's taka different. But it doesn't change anything. Nothing's really changed. And that's the side of Mincha. That's Yitzchak Avinu. That's what Yitzchak and the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka means. That's why, going back, that's why it all ends with Rivka Menu coming into the oil, and that which existed by Sari Menu comes back as if nothing's changed. Because that's exactly what the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka means. Nothing's changed. Atu Hashem Levi'olam, Atu Minishin Levi'olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam blesses Taka that just like Hashem filled all things from before. It should be revealed that He continues to fill all things now. Just go, it's like Rachamim, Meir, Amen.